My name is Benjamin Keyes. I'm a professor at Regent University in the Counseling and Psychology Department. I have been a professor here for the last 10 years, but I have been working with sexual trauma since about 1985, when I had a client walk into my office and did not know how to treat her. I originally thought she was post-traumatic stress disorder, and discovered that she was a dissociative identity disorder, and with a colleague started out and developing my skills and abilities by going to workshops and trainings, reading anything available on the topic of sexual trauma and treatment, and eventually becoming a part of the various organizations that speak to the standards of treatment, that look to looking at treatment standards and what efficacy, what works in trauma, and have been doing that since 1987, and have been doing active research in this area since 1996. Well, good day. If you're listening to this webcast, I am going to be talking about a model of treatment that was designed from a Christian perspective to work with survivors of human trafficking. Now, human trafficking for purposes of prostitution, we know occurs on a global scale, affecting really just about every country in the world. Victims are often economically challenged in their backgrounds. They're underemployed or unemployed. They have lack of social and safety networks within the countries that they may come from, even here in the United States. And instead of finding the promised jobs or the opportunities, they're often forced into an unbelievably abusive condition, slave-like atmosphere, and life as a sexual object for really the well-heeled, the sex industry, pornography, and sometimes for menial labor. We also know that they're subjected to tremendous physical, emotional, and sexual abuse, and this is the norm for the victims, and the road to recovery is struggled with or fraught with all kinds of struggle, pain, and hurt. Stepping into the gap have been all kinds of shelter programs throughout the United States. Faith-based organizations in particular have attempted to fill that gap in assisting trafficked survivors by relocating them away from the dealer, getting them into some type of healing or counseling program. And two groups in particular have been extremely active since the late 60s and the early 80s. They are the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. We're finding that other faith-based organizations have attempted to offer counseling services, support services, food, clothing, legal support. But only a few organizations in the last 10 years have stepped up to the plate to offer shelter programs where these victims can get help, can get treatment over a sustained enough time that it can make a difference to allow them to reintegrate back into society. The HEART model is an acronym. It stands for Healing Emotional Affective Responses to Trauma. It offers a systematic methodology from a Judeo-Christian worldview to work with those who have experienced traumas, hurts, difficult or painful memories. It wasn't specifically designed originally for the population of human trafficking, but it was designed for sexual trauma survivors or sexual abuse survivors, of which human trafficking victims are a part of. We have been testing this model over the last 3 years in shelters throughout the United States, trying to get enough data to establish it as a best practice. We have been very, very encouraged by the results, in that many of the things that we have targeted have shown that the model is very effective and works well. The definition certainly encompasses the backgrounds and the experiences of those who've been trafficked, like I said, for sexual exploitation. This model is consistent with current standards of care for traffic work. In other words, the secular model for working with trauma takes a three-phase or a three-stage model. The different stages within the HART model conform to that three-phase model of the secular focus. And so the model is not in competition. It is set up as an adjunct to and a way to add the Christian component or the spiritual component in working with traffic survivors. It's been said that time heals all wounds. However, in the case when emotion and memory have not been sufficiently addressed, the remaining feelings are often repressed and then compensated for in many ways that allow the person to cope or manage the problem that they're dealing with. For instance, in the area of childhood sexual abuse, a child may learn to disconnect or dissociate from the actual feelings of sexual violation in order to cope with the traumatic situation. This, over time, can and will cause significant thought difficulties, cognitive distortions is what we call this, in the child's perception, particularly in the area of relationships. The mind sort of acts as a protective defense mechanism that not only in the trauma situations, but also in times of other hurt, shame, or humiliation. Defense mechanisms, coping strategies really provide the survivor a way of protecting themselves from having to deal with difficult emotions. The HART model is a step-by-step process of reaching to the depth of emotional experiences, resolving and restructuring the cognitive distortions, reframing the affective or the feeling responses in a way that's functional and healthy. It's also a way of reframing the emotional process as they relate to a very personal relationship with God. While the focus is on human trafficking, the HART model, like I said, can be used in many, many different kinds of traumatic situations. The HART model is an intervention approach for recovery. It's used by clinicians to correct cognitive distortions and the distortions of the image of God in working with their clients. It follows 10 specific stages, and I'm just going to touch on them and explain them, and then we'll open this up. First of all, like in all therapy, we want to create a safe environment. This has to do with establishing rapport, developing the therapeutic relationship, dealing with confidentiality, issues of trust. One of the things about a sexual survivor, and particularly those who have been trafficked, very often they do not trust because everything in their world has been violated. They've been violated often by people close to them, like parents or uncles or neighbors. They've been violated by boyfriends or the people that are trafficking them or selling them to others. They've been violated by the people that pay for the sexual privileges with them. So it's very difficult when they come out of that to bond and to work with a therapist. This period of time is also where the client is given a lot of self-soothing skills, like relaxation skills and coping skills, and strategies to be able to manage not only the therapeutic process, but to begin to empower them to take responsibility for the process of getting well and healing. The next stage deals with sort of reconnecting and anchoring to the memory. And this process can happen over quite a wide period of time. Most of the time, that first initial stage can take anywhere from 6 months to a year to really firmly establish a basis and a groundwork for healing. stages are in the model, like I said, there are 10 stages. Stages 8 through 9 are all in what we would call the second phase of therapy. It all has to do with working with the memory, working with the affect and the feelings, and all the thought process and the cognitive distortions. And we break that up in very specific ways. The first is dealing with the memory surrounding the abuse, surrounding the trafficking. Whenever we start working with memory, of course, all kinds of feelings come up. And so you've got to be able to process the feelings and deal with the cognitive distortions. Cognitive distortions are where the victim often feels that they're to blame for any abuse that has happened to them. They blame themselves. They have a hard time understanding that a lot of this was done to them. And so rather than blame a perpetrator or to blame somebody close to them, like a father or a stepfather or a mother, very often while they're angry, they blame themselves for how they acted or what they did. And it's getting that shift to put the responsibility on the perpetrator, not on them, and to take the sting out of the shame and the victim blaming that they're doing. If they experienced any emotional or sexual pleasure, that only adds to the shame and also adds to how they go out blaming themselves. So the distortions become very, very important to change. The way we do this is that, and getting to the feeling part of this is the third stage, we get to a process where we're working with the sort of the split parts of themselves, the earlier part of themselves, the child part of themselves, and the adult of now. Or if they're adolescents, the earlier child part of them and the adolescent of now, and trying to bridge that gap between what happened to them at a younger stage and where they are now in the process of recovery. And that's really where all that cognitive distortions, all the feelings, all the memory work come to pass. The fifth stage in this is coming to a place where they can forgive themselves. It's sort of letting themselves off the hook. Because if they can't forgive themselves, they're going to constantly be cycling in a process of self-defeat that's not going to allow them to embrace a sexuality eventually in relationships, but more importantly, a spirituality. A personal relationship with a living God is something that they're going to have very, very difficult time because they're still in that self-blame and not being able to release that. Now, those stages that I just talked about, those sort of five stages, are all pretty much the same process that go on from a secular point of view. What the heart model does is it adds a Christian overlay to it, beginning with the sixth level here. And the sixth level has to do with an awareness of God, an awareness of a spiritual power that is greater than themselves. And what that often brings up is dealing with spiritual distortions, distortions in their image of who God is. And it allows for just a very simple process of coming into a positive, real relationship with God. What we use is a process called practicing the presence. It's a technique that's been used by Catholic monks for centuries, of just allowing yourself to be in the presence of God without prayer, without saying anything, without doing anything. Now, for those of us who have experienced extreme shame, just that alone becomes very, very difficult. But it brings up all the negative aspects, all the negative things that we put in the way of having a relationship with God, and allows us to move into a place where we can receive forgiveness from God. So we have the element of forgiveness first with ourselves, and then the element of forgiveness from God. Once we're in that right relationship, then coming together of the parts of self and the coming together with emerging, with God being in the midst of the relationship, part of the process, part of the healing process, part of the spiritual development process, part of the journey, if you will, brings us to stages 7 and 8 of the model. Of coming together within the split part of ourself and coming to terms with and bringing God into the center of the healing process. That merging of parts, that moving in right relationship with God, brings us to that to the last stage, which is a refocus of life. It's a reframe of life that allows us to have new insight, to have purpose, to have love, and to have God as the for most of us as Christians, to have God as the center of our lives that help to direct our path. Now, I just was very reductionistic of a very complex process that sometimes will take clients years to walk through. And the model is not so much that you learn the model and you structure the model. It's something that clinicians learn as sort of an overlay to what most of them are already doing. It just allows for the process of the Christian overlay or the spiritual overlay to be present and for them to work through the feelings, through the distortions, through the memories, in a way that doesn't skip anything and sort of has a systematic process for doing it. Now, as I alluded to earlier, we have been researching this for the past 3 years in throughout 6 shelters throughout the United States. And we have submitted journal articles on both the preliminary work, and we're starting to now look at the final statistics. But what we have seen is a tremendous reduction. For those that are following the model, we've seen a tremendous reduction in depression, in anxiety. Very much the symptoms start to decrease over time. Now, one of the interesting things we found, particularly about anxiety, is that with adolescent girls, anxiety actually increases slightly after 3 months, but then drops significantly at the 6-month mark. And it actually sort of poses a clinical question as to why that is, which is something that we will pursue in the next 2 years of research as we look at what's happened with symptoms. Other symptoms that we've noticed a significant reduction with has to do with arousal, anger, intrusive thoughts, intrusive memory, defensive or avoidant behaviors, dissociative episodes, all significantly reduce when this model is applied to the therapeutic process. Dysfunctional sexual behaviors, tension-reducing behaviors actually increase. In other words, they use the techniques that they're taught that significantly drop these kinds of reactions. Over a 6-month period, particularly with adolescents, we see a tremendous drop, almost a 75% drop in post-traumatic symptoms. Post-traumatic symptoms include depression, hypervigilance or hyperarousal, avoidance behavior, irritable mood and destabilization, and flashbacks and any type of intrusion. Now, 75% in 6-month time is extremely significant. We find that there, even within a 3-month period of time, we see a lessening effect of cognitive distortions. Now, with our research, we also looked at some of the spiritual concepts, things like forgiveness, not so much of perpetrator, but forgiveness of self, forgiveness within a spiritual context. We see a significant reduction in lack of forgiveness with not only themselves, but others and situation. And again, this drops almost 75%. Spiritual well-being starts to improve greatly, both with adults and adolescents, and we see a very positive shift in God image, in spirituality, and a focus on self. We've looked both at the symptomatology. We want to make sure that we are getting at the symptoms of post-traumatic stress or dissociative experiences. But we also want to make sure that since we're doing this in a Christian context, that the spiritual distortions, that a right relationship with God and a sense of their own spirituality and well-being seems to increase when using this model. Now, obviously, in a 3-year period of time, working in shelters that have a time limit in most cases of anywhere from 12 to 24 months, you're only going to get the earlier stages of this. But when clients are able to find therapists that can apply this technique in outpatient after they are finished with being in shelter homes, then they can go a long way to really going into remission, reintegrating into society, and really getting well and healthy. This model is based, by the way, based on writings from the 1983 and 1985 of Dr. David Siemens, who was a missionary who was out in the field working with people of other cultures. And what he did was he had to find a way to not only counsel with them, but to work with horrendous traumatic experience. And even back then, he found ways of systematizing that and working with it. What I've done with the model is I've gone over it. I've worked with other people. I've even worked with David Siemens back when he was still alive in sort of reframing it and reshaping it to specifically address the needs of trauma survivors. And this is a model that's been in the works for about 20 years now. And we're very, very excited, not only about the research that's being done, but the effectiveness that the shelters are finding with the application of the models and that the therapists are finding with having a model that addresses a step-by-step process. Now, the model is not designed to be linear. It's not designed that you go from one stage to another. It's designed to be circular in that very often when you deal with feelings, other memory comes up. So are you going backwards? No. It's just that you're adding more information into the model, and that circulation of the model will get to all the aspects in the treatment that need to be addressed.
Thank you for listening. Learn how to subscribe to our Groundwork series by visiting our website at www.thesamaritanwomen.org.